everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Your apology needs to be as loud as the disrespect was. Trae Young is having a moment. His third straight 30-10 game. Let's bring in the national
panel. Don't go with the age thing. I don't want to hear about the age thing.
You,
stop it.
You know the last time a 30-10 before 22?
No, don't care.
It's never happened before. Yes, yes, those stats are annoying. I confess.
Trae Young's a big around-the-horn fan, so be kind.
The Colin Kaepernick workout. And whether this seems real and necessary and in good faith, can you think of another time the league organized a workout for a player? The details here, Kaepernick and his reps were surprised. They didn't know about this until a few hours before. They would want it for a Tuesday when workouts typically happen in the league. NFL scheduled it for Saturday when every team is kind of traveling to their game. Sarah Spain, we'll start with you. How does it all strike you?
Well, I started out wanting to feel positive about an opportunity for him to go out on his own terms, to have a chance to prove that he's been working every single day, ready to go for the last 2 years and 10 months. Yeah. But the more details that came out, the more cynical I became. Why now? Why on a Saturday? Why 2 hours notice for him to let the league know whether he's in or out? Why give a bunch of teams barely 48 hours to decide if they want to fly someone out the day before a game? All of this is very concerning to me. And if any of these teams have been interested, why haven't they reached out to him directly in the last 3 years? Is it they need some sort of cover if they want to show up and take a look at him? They didn't want to be the team that had to stick their necks out and reach out. I'm more concerned about them showing up. The media is not invited. He looks great. No one signs him. And all that we get out here is no one signed him, which means he's washed. It just doesn't feel like everything's above.
Ramona Shelburne, how's it feel to you?
You know, I started off cynical, and I'm choosing to see this as a positive step forward because for almost 3 years, there's been nothing. So at least now there's something. But Sarah, I really think this is institutional cover. I think there are teams that are interested in Colin Kaepernick. They don't want to be the team that brings him in for a workout. Then you go through a week's worth of news cycle of should they sign him, should they not sign him. And then if they do or don't, then there's a whole nother week's worth of news cycle. And also you destabilize your own quarterback position because some of the teams that are confirmed in attendance are looking at him as a backup and some are looking at him as a starter. And so if you're looking at him as a backup, like maybe the Cowboys, then you have a whole new news cycle that they're trying to avoid. So I like that this is that the
okay. There's a lot to get to there, but your idea there, institutional cover, doesn't that in fact prove the collusion of the last 3 years to begin with? Bob Ryan, how about you?
Yeah.
I'm usually a little bit more trusting than a lot of people, sometimes to the point of naivete. But this time, I'm put me down as being very, very suspicious.
Okay.
Very suspicious. I see this, all the things that you alluded to about the day of the week and it's the 11th week of the season and all this. Whatever's going on, I just feel it's a CYA move on the part of the league. So that event, you know, they will not be, no one can truthfully say in the end of it when the story's all over, well, we gave him a chance, you know, we gave him a chance after all. No, I don't think it doesn't pass my smell test at all for legitimacy.
You know, it's funny about Colin Kaepernick because even in his tweet, he said, I'm looking forward to seeing head coaches and general managers there. It's almost like he's being sarcastic because he knows on a college football Saturday, head coaches are not at NFL tryouts. they're someplace else. But to Ramona's point, if there's a team in there that's interested, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to try to be optimistic and say there actually is one. Maybe they don't want to be the team that does bring him in. And then you have, you know, for a whole week, all this stuff, and you're going to sign him. And remember, too, when the Baltimore Ravens did it and they didn't sign him, they caught a lot of grief for it. But what I also find amazing is, when he was first out of the league, the minute a quarterback went down, everyone said, well, what about Colin Kaepernick? This year, all we've seen is starters, backups go down, and you don't really hear this cry for where's Colin Kaepernick. It's almost like everyone is thinking, you know what? It's over.
It's almost like everyone has moved on. Sarah, did you want to get back in there for a second?
Yeah, I just want to quickly say the reason that the Ravens took Flack is because they said they needed to pray on it, and they asked their fans if they should sign him. That's not usually how you decide whether you're going to pick a quarterback up or not. And secondly, the reason people stopped clamoring for Colin Kaepernick despite the need for so many backups this year is because after the collusion suit and the amount of time that passed, it just felt like there was no way these sides were going to come back together. Not because people believed that guys coming off of teaching gym class for junior high students were actually a better option than him.
Right, but also it feels like we've never seen somebody come back from 2 years and 10 months away from the game. I don't know if you can name anyone who's recovered from a layoff like that. Well, what's reasonable?
No, but Hasselbeck and Orlovsky got invited.
True.
Right?
True.
And so we're going to guys that don't even want to play instead of a guy who's been out not even quite as long as them. And
as an addendum to that, people also made the, I would consider it a straw man argument, but I'm putting words in people's mouth. We don't know if Kaepernick wants to play when Jay Cutler at one moment said, I can't play anymore. I really don't want to play anymore. And within months, he was the quarterback for the Dolphins. But the question is, what can you reasonably expect from a guy who's been out of the league for 3 years, Ramona?
I mean, you know, he says he's been working out. He says he's ready for this. And that is kind of part of the process, right? If somebody does want to play and that they have to be ready at the drop of a hat, if you're signing guys a backup, you've got to be ready to go in at any moment. And so I don't know what you can reasonably expect, but that's also part of the test here.
Bob Ryan?
Well, his calling card ultimately was superior athleticism, and I still think he retains that. And I think that if there, technically, I think he could come back, and I think he could be an asset. And we all know he should be, and I think he could be if he gets a legitimate
chance. Let's get to the interesting question now, whether any teams make sense. Sarah, I'm going to start with you because Chicago is a team that I've heard come up quite often in the last 24 hours. Are you hearing anything there?
I am not hearing much about it. It's an interesting team because they brought in Mike Glennon, a guy who had fewer passes than Kaepernick had touchdowns in the season before they brought him in. And so that led me to believe that they were not ever going to give him a chance. But they put together this social justice thing. Maybe they've evolved on the issue. I think it's more interesting to look at him. I mean, I would love him in Chicago, don't get me wrong. But I doesn't feel like I'm hearing much. I would love to see him maybe somewhere where they already have a quarterback who's similar, where he can slide right in. And if things go awry, maybe like a Lamar Jackson type style where you just put him right in.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, and Dallas would make sense too. I think for him, realistically, he's been out so long, you know, a backup right now would make certain sense. But I would also, if I was Colin Kaepernick and everyone's getting wrapped up, he was told this day, he was told the other day, it's Saturday. If I'm him and I'm ready to play, he should have told them, I'm ready. I'll go today if you want me there.
Okay.
And I'll try.
Bob, can I ask you this? Does Bill Belichick care about winning more than anything else? Who gave the Patriots their only loss? The Baltimore Ravens? Would it not behoove the Patriots to have at least the idea of Colin Kaepernick as a scout team quarterback, as Lamar Jackson going into a postseason matchup you think you might have, Bob? Please connect some dots.
I think they would be a very good I think that would be a very logical team for that very reason, that they've got a 42-year-old quarterback and anything, you know, one play away from disaster without a proven backup. Yeah, they'd make a lot of sense.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Another story to sink our teeth into here. The Houston Astros and sign stealing. There is
next
an incredible
there's
amount
the change
here.
Up.
Love
bang,
this breakdown.
Bang, takes it.
That's John Boy there, who was listening to a bat in a dugout that was after, allegedly, I guess we're slave, Mike Fiers was telling The Athletic that the Astros team all throughout their 2017 World Series year were using technology at home to steal signs. Astros GM Jeff Luhnow had to make a public statement. And if you're thinking Astros a public statement, yes, that's understandable. Here's the statement. We haven't done everything properly, but I do feel confident that in general, most of the time, we did right things. Okay. Thank you, Houston Astros. Frank, start with you. How big of a deal is this? How do you view the Astros in that championship? And what position is baseball in now?
Unfortunately, it doesn't explain how come Aaron Judge struck out 11 times against the Astros in the 2017 ALCS. But to me, it's not cheating unless you get caught, and they just got caught. So you want to talk about steroids. There's been sign stealing a lot. They talk about it with the shot heard around the world, Ralph Branca, Bobby Thompson. They're going to be fine. They should be fine. They're not going to take away their World Series title, but it's tainted.
So Bob Ryan?
I think that they should bring back Tony Orlando and Dawn to throw out the first pitch next year. You know, knock three times on the ceiling. But seriously, folks, this is a serious matter. The stealing signs in the old-fashioned eyeball way is totally part of baseball, has been for 150 years. But technology is a different matter. They got caught. They should be punished to whatever is the extent of the law in baseball. It's just that simple.
Will you think of that World Series differently now, Bob Ryan?
No, because of the fact is they went on the road. The fact is that their road record was actually – see, that's here's the thing, and let's go back to Spygate. And we'll never know to what extent Spygate was a benefit. We will never know to what extent any of this was a benefit. We just won't know. But what we do know is it's against the rules, and you shouldn't
Ramona
do it.
Ramona Shelburne.
I think of the World Series differently because I remember the Dodgers saying that at the time. I remember that being an issue for them. And, you know, just psychologically, if you're a pitcher out there and you feel like your pitches are getting tipped, sometimes that affects your confidence. If you feel like if I throw my changeup here and they're sitting on that changeup, you may not feel good about throwing that anymore. And if you remember that World Series, it was a slugfest. I mean, there was a couple of games there that were double-digit runs for each team. They were home runs everywhere.
So you're talking about the Dodgers.
I do think of it differently.
The Dodgers were at least keyed into this. The Yankees talked about whistling. Cleveland in 2018 have also seemed to allege this. Sarah Spean, what are you doing with this?
First of all, I don't think that if you're not caught, it's not cheating. I think it's cheating either way. And as you start to be able to pinpoint the teams that you can actually prove it, you have to punish them. And you have to do it in a way that prevents teams from doing it in the future. Because the answer is the technology is always evolving faster than it can be taught. And so you need to give teams the desire not to figure out how to cheat because they're so worried about getting caught that it's not worth it. I don't know, like Bob said, if you can pinpoint exactly how much it helped them. There's some interesting stats for a handful of guys. Tyler Talk Sports put these on Twitter. We looked them up. Jose Altuve improved his batting average by 330 points on the road, 19 hits and 12 RBI to 5-2 at home. There's a number of guys that improved their play a ton. And to me, it just feels like, you know, when you're trying to, like, figure out that gray area, you might never find it. But like Ramona said, psychologically, you can absolutely point to how it would affect their
opponent. Frank Isola. Tony, you're a big baseball guy. How many other teams do you think are doing this? The Boston Red Sox,
the Apple Watch, heaven forbid,
the New York Yankees.
Well, you're naming teams, but we do know, Bob Ryan, the Apple Watch was a story in Boston recently. I guess I want to say we can say everybody has been trying to do this for as long as baseball has happened. You think of the Giants team with the Bobby Thompson home run differently, Bob Ryan, after that report that came out in the Wall Street Journal a few years ago?
I was totally saddened by it because I've always held that up there as the pinnacle in almost baseball history. Although the home run itself, the ball was up here. That has nothing to do with anything. But the fact that they went 37-7 down the stretch with the aid of this was very important. Yeah.
Ramona, I want to ask you this because you played softball at the highest level, the College World Series. This is happening with sign stealing. Was it happening in technology while you were playing? Or how do you view it from
that perspective? Not with technology. Like, we used to do that. If you saw a catcher setting up inside or outside, you would kind of signal to your base, you'd signal to the batter. But there's a difference between that. That's something that's human to human, player to player. When you're introducing technology, it changes things. I also want to point out, there's a difference between scouting and stealing, okay? One of the most famous home runs in World Series history, Kirk Gibson's home run. Kirk Gibson to this day gives credit to a Dodgers scout by the name of Mel Didier, who told him, when Eckersley gets down, he goes to the backdoor slider. He knew what was coming. He hit it out. That's good scouting. That's not stealing.
That's how Jessica Mendoza got all those hits.
Good. All right, buy or sell is next. I Love Walter coming up. Bob Ryan, I want to hear your Tommy Heinsohn.
I Love Walter.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Can I say it now? I Love Walter!
I love Walter. Did I hear Walter on your radio show this morning, Frank Isola? Good. Yes,
you did.
What a moment for Walter McCarty. Going to interrupt where you played, beat the alma mater and the number one team in the country while coaching Evansville. But what a loss for Kentucky. Ramona, what type of loss is this for the number one team?
Yeah, this is a loss that you're happy happened now and not in the NCAA tournament, because that's how brackets get busted. But, like, Kentucky didn't deserve to win this. They've been winning and losing by the three. They shot 24% last night from behind the arc. They only had 6 assists total. They didn't play very well. Half their starters were in foul trouble all night. You can just throw this away.
But Spain, you're throwing
glad
it away?
That happened now.
Walter, man, that video makes me so happy. It makes me smile. This is a useful loss. It's embarrassing, but useful, because Evansville only shot 38% from the field. They cannot tell themselves they ran into a hot team. They tell themselves that they got outplayed, and they use it later in the season.
The Spain abides. How about you, Frank Isola?
Tony, Kentucky was a 25-point favorite. They were giving Evansville $90,000 to come there and beat them as the number one team. I got a chance to cover Walter when he was a rookie. He's a sweet guy. He said that Billy Donovan called him, Patrick Ewing. And for an Evansville kid who won a national championship at Kentucky, how great of a
Billy
moment.
Billy Donovan called him, Patrick Ewing called him, Frank Isola called him, all the big ones. Bob Ryan, you know Walter as well.
Yes, it's embarrassing. I'm a fine fellow. It's embarrassing, no more, no less. They have fixable issues. It's no more shocking to the Kentucky fans than the night of December 28, 66, when Sarah's Cornell ancestors walked into the Memorial Coliseum and beat a team with Louis Dampier and Pat
okay.
Riley. Greg Morris, 37.
All right. Thank you very much,
losing
Bob. You got Tony Orlando last segment, and now you got that team from Cornell. Sarah's ancestors.
Cornell.
We'll move on. Buy or sell to Georgia, the one lost team in the top four, as accurately predicted by everybody. Alabama sitting at 5, though, and then Oregon, Utah, and then Minnesota, the undefeated team, at 8. What are you buying? What are you selling, Sarah?
I'm buying that they are happy to have another couple shots at this, because there is no obvious number four. 1, 2, 3 felt good. Number four felt like, they got better wins, but they got a worse loss. Thank God this isn't the final ranking.
Frank Isola.
It's set up for Alabama to get in with one loss, but I am rooting for Minnesota. It would be nice to see an underdog crack the top four.
What did you think of them at number 8? When I know we all look at the other schedule they had, but who's got a better win than beating Penn State?
Exactly, because their name is Minnesota. It's not Michigan. It's not Ohio State. That's why they're 8-0 or 9-0 in ranked 8.
Bob Ryan.
My takeaway is, safest bet is Clemson. They're not going to lose. They will be undefeated. They have the safest set bet of all. They're going to be in. Everything else is up for grabs. They are in.
Ramona Shelburne.
All right, well, I'm going to stick up for the Pac-12. I'll sell the fact that Oregon's all the way down there, because Alabama's right in that spot. Frank, you're right. All they have to do is sit back and see if Georgia beats LSU, and then they can jump right into the playoffs, and the Pac-12 is set up.
I don't know if that is even the case, Ramona. If Georgia beats LSU, LSU still had beaten Alabama, and they would both have one loss. We'll move on. Buy or sell 3, Trey Young. I love this quote. Your apology needs to be as loud as the disrespect was and as loud as that graphic was. He posted his third straight 30-10 assist game. He actually had 42-11 in this one over Denver. Frank, are you going to apologize loudly? I'm not even sure if you ever said anything bad about Trae Young, but apologize, please.
I like Trae Young. How about the nutmeg on Will Barton? Right. He's a tremendous player. It's not the best performance by a guard. Last night, Kobe White, the rookie, 7 3-pointers in the
You beat
quarter.
Sarah to it. Oh, you'd be stealing her Chicago Thunder. Bob Ryan, how about you?
I signed up as a member of his fan club when he was in Oklahoma. I'm not.
Oh, surprised. Now everybody's like, I knew it all along.
But I did. But the extent of this is really extraordinary. I'm just
all right.
Saluting.
We all know where he was drafted at number 5, Ramona, and Atlanta passed on Doncic. But he's fueled by this. What are you buying? What are you selling?
You know what? I'm actually going to sell this. I'm a big person. I'm high on Trae Young, too. It's a little early. They haven't done anything yet. Like, okay. You're right there with Doncic. Doncic just looks like an MVP candidate.
Can't wait to see what he posts after seeing this. And Sarah Spade, how about you?
I have to agree with Ramona. Look, I'm buying that I love the excitement and enthusiasm, but I'm selling it because we have seen any number of people this season alone who start out the season with, you didn't like us then, you're not allowed to like us now. A.K.A. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
They're haters.
Okay.
They're all haters.
As Bob Ryan knows, no human being in NBA history ever under the age of 22 to have three straight 30-10 games, Bob.
I don't care.
Okay, Spain and her ancestors rallying against Maryland Hall of Famer Frank Isola. I believe you won a special award this week.
Hall of Showdown Fame. Next. Distinguished alum.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sarah Spain, Frank Isola, good luck in showdown. Baseball awards. Tonight, the Cy Young. Does anybody even remember the season? Sarah, who you buying for NL? Who you buying for AL? Cy Young.
I feel very comfortable with DeGrom. I am very torn on Verlander Cole, but I get the feeling that Verlander's previous awards will give him the bump.
I'm giving it to Garrett Cole. He's still standing in the bullpen waiting to come into Game 7. Plus, he didn't lose from May until the World Series. I get it. The numbers of Verlander, I'm still going with Garrett Cole. And DeGrom is going to win. That's a lot.
I like the Cole line. We'll move on. Showdown 2. In the history of guys doing things during plays to distract the other team, we had the dead bug by Arkansas State in 2014.
Brilliant.
And now we have the lineman cartwheel, Ohio Bobcat Hagan Mercervi. Where does 6 foot 3 inch, 300 pounds of cartwheel rank on the misdirection list, Frank?
You know what? There is still fun in college football. And what's so great about these plays is most of us, we write them down because we're going to use them in a couple of weeks on Thanksgiving. I especially like the cartwheel.
Listen, if you're going to use that in your turkey bowl, you might want to move your cartwheel a little closer to the ball because the execution was great, but no one was looking at him. He had no effect on the play whatsoever. Neither of them did.
This is now part of the legacy of these plays. The dead bug had nothing to do with the play. They were lucky the play wasn't like the paramedics came on the field and negated the play when the guy went down like that. Same with this, but I like the effort, and we're going to give it to a Hall of Famer in FaceTime today.
I'm going to do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you reach a certain age, you become a distinguished alum, and then you start to root for the guys that are somewhat in your age group. One of those guys, Adam Vinatieri, who turned 47 in December. He's going to stick with the Indianapolis Colts, which is a good story. I was kind of hoping they would let him move on because he would have ended up back with New England. You know Bill Belichick would have something up his sleeve. He's headed to Canton. Great career. Keep kicking, Adam, until you're 50.
Yeah, you said he's sticking with the Colts. It's more like the Colts are sticking with him, at least for this week right now.
That too.
Congratulations again, distinguished alum at the University of Maryland, Frank Isola. All right, and everybody else here as well. Congratulations to you.
Yeah,
23 and a half.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow.